Hi, folks. This is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 23. And to those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about on here is my opinion from my experience and with guitars, amps, and effects, and so on. Please chime in with comments and questions by email to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Please go ahead and visit theguitarpodcast.net. That will be a portal for you to access the Facebook page as well as the YouTube page. I only have two videos up there right now, but there will be more to come. Some will be instructional videos, just some tips and tricks and here and there, just some ideas. Others may be slightly different. Join us on the Facebook page. You'll get updates about when a new episode comes out and other things that are going on. You know, if you like the podcast, you like what's going on, you want to share it, share those posts on Facebook, go for it. Please do. Also, if you would, please go to iTunes. If you're an iTunes user, go there and write a review. Let me know what's going on. What you think? That pushes us up a little higher in the rankings of in searches and such. With that, we'll get on with the show. I got an email in response to the last week's episode 22, when I was talking about a coworker who was down on himself, kind of not really down on himself, but he didn't want to spend the time and money on himself to learn to play guitar really well or improve because of his age, and it just really kind of hit me wrong. So I got an email from Brian in Canada, and I can read the whole thing here to you. Hi, Lauren. I just wanted to write you again and tell you how much I enjoyed episode 18 and 19, Pedalboard Starter Kit and Multi-Effects Processors. You're right on target with these topics because I'm experimenting with different sounds and pedals. I have bought too much as I really don't know enough about different pedals, what pedals do. I have three pedals, a tuner, and so far I'm happy with them for now. Although I have a friend who has lent me some of his pedals, I can try them out. I have a Keeley modded Boss Blues driver, which I really like. I would like to say it's my favorite at the moment. I also have a Marshall Bluesbreaker 2, which was not that expensive and has the blues tone, although different from the Keeley Boss BD2, but has a boost switch on it as well. So it's like two pedals in one. I just picked up a Boss RC2 looper, which I use for playing along with while practicing. It has a number of drum tracks, so you can record up to 11 different tracks on it for playback. You mentioned the last podcast about not everyone has a drummer or a band to play along with. Well, this is a nice alternative. My last pedal is the Korg Pitchback Chromatic Tuner. My amp is a 12-watt clone, 59 Tweed Deluxe. It doesn't have a reverb tank in it. I don't think the original ones did either. And I was wondering what I would do to get one installed or a pedal, but after listening to your podcast, I think I will definitely check out a good delay pedal instead. Thanks for that tip. I know I'm kind of getting long-winded here, but I had a comment on your coworker not wanting to spend money on lessons because he was 50. I finally decided it was time to quit my daydreaming about playing guitar and start taking lessons about 4 years ago at age 54. Catch that, folks, 54. I've never looked back. Sure, I know I'm never going to be into it big time. I'm having more fun than I ever thought I would, and I've met up with a lot of great people that play guitar. I've always had a guitar in the house, but just hacked away at it. As long as your fingers can move, you can make some kind of music. Sorry for the rambling. I just wanted to say thanks and keep up the good work on the podcast. I'm hooked. Thanks, Brian, from Canada. That's awesome. Thanks for the email, Brian. You brought up a lot of different things for me to talk about here, and it's really cool, and I like that. I like to hear that you're messing around with a lot of different pedals to kind of see what they're all about, what different ones do and everything. And yeah, a nice inexpensive way to do that is to borrow ones from friends. That Marshall Bluesbreaker is a really cool pedal, and something that makes it really cool is that, yes, you have two pedals in one, and it's a nice clean boost. I don't recall whenever I was messing with one that it colored the sound or gave it any kind of overdrive whenever just using it as a clean boost. It truly was a clean boost. It's really nice and not terribly expensive, and it's built fairly well. I'm not 100% on it being a true bypass, although it looks like a true bypass switch. It's just the way it's wired inside. Is it really true bypass? How important is that really, though? if it's being used as a clean boost, it's bypassing a lot of what's going on inside of it anyway, I would imagine. You made a great point with the looper, that you'd be able to listen to drum tracks, record up to 11 different tracks for playback, and basically play with the drum tracks and play by yourself. It's really cool because, not all of us have bands or drummers to play with. I mean, most of the time, the only time I usually play with a band is, at church anymore. So a lot of times it's in my head. Kind of hear other things in my head, a little tap or whatever. So anyway, that's a cool thing to do. There are a lot of loopers out there. You can play your own rhythm into it and then just play on through the night. You mentioned you have a clone of a 59 Tweed Deluxe, and it doesn't have a reverb tank. And you're talking about possibly adding one to it. I would highly recommend not doing that. I mean, you could. What it would probably take to get that done is finding a really good amp tech or repair shop that likes to do mods to amps and have them install a tank. And the thing is, you'd have to drill some holes in the chassis for wires to go in to be able to connect to the circuit board and a potentiometer or a knob on the outside of another hole for another knob that would control the level of the reverb. If this is a clone, I'm not sure if this is one of those that you found online or if it's like a local custom or a boutique or, handmade, hand-wired amp. I'm just a little funny about messing with one like that. Now, if it's one of those kits you got in the, for mail order or online that you put together, or maybe it was pre-built, one of those, if you had hands-on training with it or learned how to build it, then you know where the reverb needs to come into the circuit, then, go for it. But, that amp was made to do what it does, exactly the way you're using it now, not with an internal reverb. So that's my two cents on it. I wouldn't mess up a good thing there. But, it's your amp. But I'm just saying, it would be a major overhaul to the internal workings of the amp. I'm not saying that it would change the tone of it. It could. I don't know. I'm not really an amp tech. But when you start talking about drilling holes in the chassis and wiring things into an existing circuit board on an amp that's supposed to be a clone of a vintage amp, and if it does a really good job of doing that, of being that amp in the modern era, I would really be hesitant to mess with that. Now then, you're talking about, another option is to get a reverb pedal. There are a bunch of them out there. TC Electronic makes a really nice reverb unit that you can really tweak it in. And then, the Holy Grail is a nice one. It's okay, but there are a lot of them out there. I'm not really big on reverb, but I know there are a lot of people who like a lot of reverb or maybe a little reverb. When I was using my Holy Grail, I just barely had that thing turned on, maybe at 2, but or say at the 8 o'clock position, 9 o'clock maybe, somewhere around there, just barely adding a little hush at the end of a note, just a little something, nothing big. And I like the idea that you are going to try using some delay pedals to see if that does the trick. I think that's a little more natural. It's not quite as wet, and it doesn't, I think it allows the note to cut through all the mush of the band if you're playing with the band. Whereas a reverb, I think it kind of waters it down a bit. That's just my opinion on using a reverb as a delay as opposed to using an actual reverb as your reverb. What I mean is using a delay as the reverb. Also, I really appreciate your feedback about that you started playing guitar at 50, started taking lessons and really kind of focusing on it a bit more at age 54. That was really encouraging, and I actually shared that with my coworker, and he got a big laugh out of it. And he's seeing that I'm kind of nudging him along about getting lessons and everything. It just it just hit me wrong that he didn't want to do that for himself. It's like, you know, you're worth it, man, you know. Just because you're 50, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know. Anyway, but it's case in point, so I'm guessing if it was 4 years ago, you were 54, you're probably about 58. So, and you're still playing and still trying to get into more pedals and sounds and everything, and that's great. Man, keep it up. And of course, Brian said that he's from Canada. I want to share this. I'm tallying from the analytics of where all the guitar podcast is, what all countries that I've recorded thus far, and it's really cool to me to think, you know, that we're in all these countries. Just going to read off a few here that I have. Australia, Austria, Belgium, I don't even know how to pronounce this, Brunei, Darussalam, and I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to look that up. Bulgaria, Canada, France, Germany, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, Netherlands, New Zealand, Panama, Portugal, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Taiwan, Turkey, and the United Kingdom. I just think it's really cool that we're in that many countries. And, you know, if you send an email to me, feel free, leave your name, give a shout out to your country, or if you're in the States, whatever state you're in. I think it's really cool. I just need to know where people are, you know, where all these emails are coming from and who all is listening. It kind of gives me a little more of a personal contact with the audience, and I dig it. There was something I talked about several episodes ago, probably within the first five or so, about influences and how, you know, who's the best or whatever and how many people are, you know, you listen to a guitar player and this guy sounds like that guy. You can tell his influences are this person or that person. Or say you're really into a specific guitar player and then you read an article from them and you hear that they talk about the people that they were into who were, you know, big shot guitar players, say 10 years ago or whatever, that just coming on the scene, that just had a major impact on their lives. I may have mentioned about how in music we borrow from each other so much, and it's not necessarily licks, but it can be melodies as well. I want to give a case in point here. There's a solo on the first solo break at about 1:17 on the Doors 5-1. And check this out. It's at the solo break at about 1:08. Here we go. Okay, that's just a little bit of it. Now, here is Mike McGreedy playing the lead break at about 3:37 on Pearl Jam's Alive. Okay, so you see the similarities there? I mean, you hear them? I always thought that was really cool. Because, see, I always loved that solo for 10. I don't know how many times I played it. I'm sure I don't play it note for note. But Mike McGreedy had a big influence on me back in the early 90s. And it's still with me today. It's just really cool, the things he could do. He would, you know, the melodies. He would get the bluesy licks and lines. And he was just a great guitar player. I mean, still is. I mean, he's still with Pearl Jam. He's still out there rocking it. Anyway, just an example of how, you know, you're looking at, you know, what was that, about roughly 25 years apart. These songs were, you know, 20, 25 years apart these songs came out. And he's, I mean, I don't know if he was consciously doing it or not, but, I mean, it sure seems pretty close there. Whether he was or not, all I'm saying is that, you know, original or not, it's cool. And to me, it's okay to pay homage to another guy's melody or show your influence. Say, yeah, I was influenced by this. I really dig this. And yeah, I'm going to use this line in there. That's that. So I know this was kind of a short episode, but that pretty much wraps up this week's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please chime in with comments and questions to info@theguitarpodcast.net. Go ahead and go to the Facebook page and check out some stuff there. I'll throw some links. I'll throw a link to this this Doors song on there, and to a live solo. There's a live version of it where MacReady just goes off. It's just insane, and it's back. I think it's in the summer of '91, right before the album came out, right before 10 came out. It was right around there. And, you know, Young had all kinds of energy, and they were about ready to explode. And this shows why they were such an awesome band back then. Join us there and check out the YouTube page. Yeah, send me some emails. Go to iTunes if you're on iTunes. Leave some comments there. Rank it. That'd be cool. I won't tell you to give me 5 stars, but that'd be awesome. Email me. I'll either email back or reply on a future show, and lately that's been what's mainly been going on. If something has been a little more something that I think that a lot more people would be interested in talking about or hearing about, or my opinion or follow up on a previous show, that I'm talking about it here right on the episode, or right here on the show. So I'm really glad you're tuning in. Keep on playing, keep on learning from all different people. This is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.